When an art project's aim is expressed by this sentence, the only limit would be reached by completing all of the world's population, you know you're onto a good thing. Angelica Das is a photographer who takes pictures of humans and matches their skin tone to the Pantone system of colour guides. You know, those little books that give each tone a number. Angelica then lines the photos up according to that tone number. Angelica, hello, first of all, and thank you so much for coming onto The Hub.
Hello, it's a pleasure to be with you.
Angelica, when you do line these photos up according to the tone number, what do we learn about these conventional notions of black and white skin tones?
Yes, basically this is the main goal of this work, prove that why we continue speaking about black, white as colors associated with the old concept of race. So in this work, I really travel around the world portraying people, and I specifically use this code because I know what is the number for black, I know what is the number for white, and I can assure you that nobody that posed for me has these two colors. So why be continuing limited ourselves in this way?
Yeah. Angelica, how did the project start?
I'm based in Spain. I live in Spain because I married a Spaniard that is very light skin, very pink when he was just in the sun for a few minutes. So people started to ask what will be the color of my children. So the first two photos that I have in this series is exactly mine and my husband, knowing that probably my kid will be in between. Then I started to search for this color, making portraits of this colorful family to see maybe the question, that the answer will be there. And then is the moment that I really started to make a reflection that this is not about me, this is not about my family, this is about the way that see the other, no? It's a moment that I started to make open calls and just put on Facebook, hey, I don't believe in black and white. You can come to my studio if you want to collaborate in this work. And it was amazing because people just started to come, first slowly in Spain. Then I started to put the studio in different places, in Barcelona. Then I went to Paris. And then I started to travel and be invited to continue.
Angelica, you take these photos of various people's faces and then just the tops of their bodies. You just see the top of their shoulders. So you can't see any clothing. It's just the face, almost like a sort of bust, the traditional bust area of the body. How do you then get the colour to match to the number? Because, you know, even in our faces, we have a great variety of colour, don't we?
Yes, I make the portraits in a white background and I choose a square of 11 pixels from the nose, and that's with this color that I paint the background and I number as the color, the code. And I really choose the nose because I know that is this part of the body that changed. So if I make a photo for someone in summer, in winter, probably they will be different.
And it is very interesting what you say about noses. I mean, especially, you know, here in Australia, we have very, very strong sun. And I often notice with people that, and with myself indeed, that my nose can often be quite a different colour from the rest of me because it catches the sun. And also my dad, who likes to drink a little bit of whiskey from time to time, has quite a different colour nose from the rest of him. Angelica, in your TED talk, I noticed that you often are using food words to describe skin colour: chocolate, coffee, strawberry yogurt, I think you used at one point. Is there a reason why you are comparing skin colour to food?
This is one thing that I really learn from kids in school. This is a very personal anecdote. I have a cousin that have 5 years old, and was very funny the day that he entered at home saying that, oh, I have a new friend at school that looks like Tita Auntie. That's how he calls me. And, oh, yes, you have. And the mother was searching for a new African descendant kid in the school. But no, it's he described, oh, he is like a peanut, like the peanut butter. Yeah.
Yes.
And he described me as that, and it was very funny because it was not a new African descendant kids in school. It's someone from Pakistan, but that has more or less the same color as me.
Yes.
So for kids, they really don't see that.
Yes.
He saw me exactly at the same color in the same way as the friend from Pakistan. So if you really stop and listen to kids and how they deal with this kind of issue, you'll be surprised at how simple and clever they are. So he thought in about her favorite food. He was talking about something delicious. So I really described my family as the flavorous of things or the things that I really like. So that's why I speak about cinnamon, I speak about chocolate, I speak about coffee with meal, yogurt. So try to connect all this diversity with a lot of positive words.
That's wonderful. Angelica, I was looking at my own skin and wondering what food item it would be. And the best I could come up with was a crumble with rhubarb. So generally a sort of lightish brown colour, but with little bits of red coming through, possibly from too much whiskey myself, but I guess that's another matter. Angelica, where so far has your project been displayed?
Wow, so many places around the world. From Quito in Ecuador, I've been in the main entrance of the World Economic Forum in Davos. I'm the only artist that occupy the main entrance of the World Economic Forum in Davos. I've been in Italy and Switzerland and in Spain, but I really love to occupy public spaces. It's that moment that you really can put the discussion in the middle of the street, really connected with all kind of people, the ones that agree, the ones that not agree with you, that we really can create a discussion around the world.
Well, I was wanting to ask you, actually, because there's so much migration happening at the moment, often reluctant migration from both sides of the people who are moving and the people who are receiving the migrants. So I was wondering whether you feel right now that you're work has even more importance.
Yeah, we are in a moment in that planet that we are in generally very afraid of the order because of this all this movement. So I one of the things that happened with Human Eye is that when you see all these people, it's the feeling of create like a kind of mirror that see yourself in these photos of people from worldwide. One of the things that I always do in all my exhibitions, even when I make photos locally, it's really put the locals, but people from the other parts of the planet, because in the end you never know who is your neighbor or who's not. Because this is the way that our planet is function now. Embrace this otherness. It's in some way something rich. We are very afraid of that. So that's the moment that we really have to speak about it. It's very important to speak about it exactly, to realize that these things that look completely opposite, they are not. We have a lot of things in common.
Mm. Hey, you know, when I was a kid, which I have to admit was quite a long time ago, used to be able to get coloured pencils, and you used to go along to the shop and the coloured pencils would all have names, and the pink pencil would be called skin colour.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering, have we now truly moved on from that really essentially racism?
Yeah, this is one thing that was part of my life. Of course, there is a lot of reasons why I construct Human Eye, you know? Yeah, you can saw in different moments that is really part of a story of a life. And when I was young, 6 years old, it's something that I have in my mind until today, the day that I had this crayon in my hand and the teacher told me, oh, paint with the skin tone crayon. And I really look at this, and I was not able to see myself. So it was something that I had in mind during all my life. So that's why human eye, it's often used in schools, and that's my big focus now. It's bring back to school, it's bring back to the drawing class, and stop to talk about this crayon skin color, and really make kids be able to create their own skin color and discuss us about our difference and celebrate that, oh, we have different tones, we have a variety of tones in our class, and for sure nobody is this only pink.
Yes. Is everyone unique? Do we all have a different number?
No, of course there are colors that are repeated, but all scale is created by human beings, but it's limited.
Yeah.
So it's one of the things that I use as a tool to really discuss the concept of race. There are a lot of people that has exactly the same color as the number of this code Pantone. But the thing is that probably they will be treated in different way because their ethnicity. Let me explain better. Someone that has the same color, but one has blonde hair, the other have a very curly hair, and you really can see some characters that can show that this person has African heritage, or someone that looks Asian because of the shape of the eyes, and you can see these three persons with exactly the same tone. And they look absolutely different. So why, and this is one of the questions, why we continue using color to make this kind of classification? So it's one of the things that I use as games inside of the exhibition. So these kind of questions that are created with photos.
Angelica, you describe yourself as an activator rather than rather than an artist. Why do you choose that word?
Well, it's because sometimes people call me artivist or artist, activist, and I really believe that the whole of the artist, and this is my personal opinion, or the way that the place that I want to state, is activate the conversation. I really like this word, activator. We are the first flame. I just, with the exhibition, I burn the fire and then I go. It's more or less the feeling that I have. It's start a conversation.
That's such a beautiful image. Thank you very much for that, Angelica. Angelica Das, whose project Human Eye is on show, really wherever you see a human being.